someone who's clean with a dirty mind. Downtown, all around, take me on a Jenny ride.
Gosh. Hey, everyone.
Oh, hi.
Welcome to... Hey, everyone. I'm trying to... Welcome to episode 94.
Hi. Wait, let's try that again. Hi.
Hi.
Cranky. Are you cranky, too? I woke up... I'm trying to decide if I woke up cranky, which sucks when you wake up cranky, when you have, like, fucked-up dreams and you wake up cranky.
I had, too.
I had this really fucked-up, like... My anxiety dreams are... that I get, and I feel like I don't get, like, the loose teeth ones anymore. I don't get the underwear or the actor's nightmare ones anymore. I get, like, the actor's nightmare, for those of you who are not actors, are the ones where you're in a dream and you're on stage or you're supposed to be giving a speech or you're doing something and everyone else is expecting you to be brilliant and know what you're supposed to do and you have no idea. Like, you've never seen these people. You have no idea. That's an actor's nightmare. I used to get those. Now I get the anxiety ones where – you're racing to get somewhere, but you can't. No matter what you do, do you ever get those? No matter what you do, you have to get from point A to point B, and you can't get there. No. Everything is an obstacle. You're slow. People are in the way. You feel like you're in the right place, but all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, and this, the one this morning was an airplane dream. I was trying to make this flight, and we were dawdling in the airport lounge, and we were just kind of doing whatever, and all of a sudden somebody said, wait, what time is it? And I was like, oh, it's 8. And someone else said, our flight is at 8:15. And I was like, oh, fuck, we got to go. And it's that racing, but it's just a maze. You're racing, and then all of a sudden in the dream, I'm like in one room, and I'm in one lounge, and I'm like, but this isn't where we're supposed to be. And then we're racing to get to another one, and then we're racing to get, and you never, in the dream, you never get there. You never get there. And then you wake up and you're just fucking cranky.
Yeah. I woke up at 5:30 and couldn't go back to sleep. So then I was tossing and turning. So I and hitting the ground running. And so it's like I got up at 20 after 7 and was racing to be somewhere by 8, to be somewhere by 8:30, to get back here to get my order in, to get, you know, stuff for work and this and that and the other. And then I have, you know, someone working for me and he's going to go run an errand while I'm doing the podcast. But then as soon as I get off, I got a phone call saying that they're coming quicker, earlier for my work thing. They're coming 2 hours early. So now I have to hustle when I get. So yes. But you know what? Reoccurring dream. Mm. Wait, I just love that we're like, and then.
I know. I stopped listening a while ago. I think I fell asleep. Although I did wake up in the
while
middle
I was
night.
Speaking.
No, I'm kidding. Oh. I did wake up in the middle of the night because, coyotes. Every now and then, the fucking coyotes, they celebrate when they've killed something, and they all, like, they all start talking to each other, and it was, like, right outside our window, and they're yelling and yelping and howling. And,
hey, Bob! Nailed one!
Nailed one! Go!
Oh, that should be so distorted.
Ha ha!
You just blew out everyone's ears.
Yeah, I did. They all, like, you know, they have to... Bob, we got something. You did? Is it good? Is it big enough for everybody? Yeah, it is. Okay. Hey, Sally. Bob's got one.
Bring the kids. Come over.
Bring the kids. And Sally's like, kids, let's go. Bob, kill something.
Yeah.
That's basically how it goes. And then you can hear them all, like, yelping all the way up the street. Whatever. And then in your half, like...
They're very social.
...asleep stupor, you're thinking, God, I hope that's not somebody's cat. Or, like,
or dog.
I hope it's, like, a wild raccoon or something and not, like, someone's beloved pet.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so wait, so, what were you going
to
say?
My reoccurring, like, dream is...
Yeah, yeah.
I have a tornado dream that happens a lot.
That's such a Midwestern thing.
And a tornado dream. And usually I survive. I mean, I always survive, but usually I don't take a direct hit. One time I was in a bathtub, but otherwise it just goes around me. And, you know, I analyze dreams. So,
well, that, I think that's usually overwhelming because that wouldn't that kind of be the same thing as the water dreams? The water dreams mean that you're, you know, when you are drowning. For me, it's always ocean. I guess for everybody, it's different when you have the water dreams that you're drowning or that you're being. I believe those mean that you're overwhelmed by something in your life because
And you're not going with the flow.
I think we've talked about this, and I feel like, and maybe I read this somewhere, and maybe I'm just completely pulling it out of my ass, but
sure.
I think that. Those kinds of dreams, like the airport dream or the water dream, you think about what emotion is being evoked by the dream, and that's generally what it means. So when you're racing, trying to get somewhere, and no matter what you do, you never can, that gives you anxiety. So I just attribute those to, like, what am I anxious about? What am I having anxiety about? Because that's an anxiety dream. Or if I have the dreams where the water dreams for me are always ocean. I'm like in the ocean, I'm standing on a wall or standing on the beach, and a big wave just comes. And
sure, that's overwhelmed.
Those usually mean that you're overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's when you're in the water, it's different. That's about going with the flow. And then I have another reoccurring dream, too. It hasn't been for a while. I will be in a city area, and a wall of water will be coming in. And
anxiety? Is that anxiety, too?
Probably a sense of overwhelm again, right? Because I get to the highest floor that I can, and I always survive.
I always get to the highest floor. Yeah, I think that would be overwhelmed because for me, like I said, water for me is beach, but it's still the same. When people have water dreams, for you, it's you being in a city and the water coming. When the water's coming and overtaking you, it's overwhelming you, then yeah, it's usually. So what are you overwhelmed by?
What am I not? I mean, really.
Yeah.
I got some family health issues creeping up again.
That's fun. Oh, yeah.
And then just day-to-day stuff, just kind of running around. So grateful to still be working. So grateful that this political shit show is happening.
Did you get more work?
Yeah, I worked yesterday.
What would you do it for? Oh, yeah. I have a new disgusting political ad that we're airing. Remember how we talked about porn ad?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the porn ad so much anymore. Oh, I have a new one for you. It's disgusting. Even my son keeps walking by and barely missing it, and he'll be like, wait, what? What did they say? Nothing. Never mind. It's inappropriate.
But it's go away.
I know. It's inappropriate for you to be. It's inappropriate. You don't want to know. Who'd you do an ad for?
It's against this guy, Justin Fareed, in the Central Coast of California. I've done a lot of California stuff.
Yeah,
which
but
it's interesting because I have to watch my accent when I...
Listen, you know, don't vote for him because, like, he won't understand you.
Have you heard? Yeah, that's how I talk.
Oopsa. Hey, what?
But I
was
have
it
some
a, was it a bashing ad?
Yeah, sure. Of course it is. They're all attack ads.
But did you say anything? Was the attack ad like, he loves small girls and goes to Thailand?
No, not quite that attacking. Just that he supports the Republican agenda. And
you gotta love that when your worst attack ad is he's a Trump lover, and then everyone goes, oh, what?
I know.
Wait, so what's your good news?
Well, so I went to the gig yesterday, and the producer's like, hey, I sent you some emails. Have you gotten them? And I said, no. He goes, one of the spots you've done for us was on Meet the Press on October 16th.
Nice.
They did a segment of attack ads that are out, not against Trump, but against people running for state government.
And did they say, can you believe what this woman is saying?
No, but they did this little montage of, like, you know, bits of, like, five or six different spots. And I was the only actor. The rest were all clips of the actual politicians. So it was cool.
Now, this is when you spin it, people. This is called PR. This is when you spin it and you send out postcards saying, have worked for people like Meet the Press.
Really?
My work has appeared on Meet the Press.
Right, my work has appeared on Meet the Press, which, of course, I'm not getting paid for, by the way, right?
Of course not.
No.
But you still listed in the long list of, like, people who you've appeared on or done, you know, whatever.
So that was exciting. And
choose your words.
Yeah, there's a couple of the spots that are on YouTube. So, and, you know, for folks out there who are not familiar with this crazy world Keek and I live in, Keek's on camera. So she has a tendency to see herself frequently because it's either going to be on the internet or, you know, national television. Voiceover, you can get lost in it. I could be doing a radio spot.
And it runs on a loop all day in my house.
Yeah. I could be doing a radio spot for somewhere in Wisconsin or Iowa or Wyoming and never hear it. So it's kind of exciting to do this work and actually see it. That's really, it's been a big whew, thrill for me. Anyway, so working, but it's over in less than 2 weeks. Thank God. 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, but hopefully these people are busy and they'll hire you and book you more. Have you, speaking of acting and shows about acting and the fact that we're always like forcing our stupid acting bullshit stuff on our listeners. Have you seen the show Better Things on FX? Pamela Adlin.
No,
and,
you told us about it last
and,
time.
And Louis C.K., who is one of the funniest fucking comedians. I did not really get into his show.
Okay.
His personal show, which I think was just called Louis, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get into. I watched it a couple of times, and I was like, yeah, I mean, whatever. But his stand-up, I shit you not, if you've never seen his stand-up, find it on YouTube, find it somewhere on Hulu, Netflix, whatever, and just watch some of his stand-up. He is genius. But
yeah, I like him a lot.
He co-writes and creates the show Better Things with Pamela Adlon, and it's basically about it's just her life. She's a single mom. She has three daughters. She's an actress. She's been acting forever. She had a popular show when she was younger, when she was a kid, and now she's just in the trenches with everybody else doing VO work, doing, you know, day player work, doing whatever. And it's just really funny. But it's not like, you know, set up, set up, punch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like that kind of comedy. It's just really subtle. And especially if you're a woman, you don't have to be a woman, but especially if you're a woman, especially if you're a mom, especially if you've ever been a single mom, especially
like so
if
many
you
of
have
our
daughters,
listeners.
Especially if you have, I mean, any...
If you know women.
It's so... There's just something really, really understated. Go watch it, and we'll have to talk about it, because I'll be curious to see what you think of it. It's very understated and very subtle, but it's really funny. So, listen, so the political ad that's airing now, the new gross one is, I don't even know what his name is. This teacher put sperm in cookies and gave them to his children.
What?
He had sperm cookies to his children, and something, something, and, you know, and was around the children, and did, there was something else disgusting other than the sperm cookies. And such, you know, Joe Schmo started a bill that made it harder for us to fire pervert teachers. And then at the end, they show, how do you like how that cookie crumbles? And they show a bunch of cookies like falling onto a counter.
That's awesome.
The first time I saw it, I went, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, okay, first of all, I've read enough of those pamphlets. When you read, if I'm sure all of our listeners are smart enough and conscientious enough that they at least peruse the booklet to go and vote for the propositions.
Right.
And I read enough of the pros and the cons to know when you're being spun. And when you say something like sperm cookies and we couldn't fire this pervert, because they didn't say, and this again is, you know, Girk appeared on, has her work has appeared on Meet the Press. That's very different than saying we weren't able to fire the pervert teacher. They said it's made it harder for us to fire pervert teachers like the guy who put sperm in cookies and fed them to his children. And you go, right, but he was fired, right? Well, yeah, of course. He puts me sperm cookies. So what the fuck are you doing this ad for? What are you doing? Because what? Because we're idiots and we can't read between the lines and go, oh, what? What proposition is that allows sperm cookie teachers to still be around
teaching.
Our children?
Yes.
Teaching. So my kid is like, wait, what did they say? I said, nothing. It's inappropriate. Forget it. Even though they're airing it like after school and during dinner time. And so finally,
sperm
he
cookies.
Comes by again and he goes, wait, what was that ad again? I just saw it again, but I missed it again. What was the thing about cookies? And I'm like, nothing.
See, and that's...
They put dirt or mud in cookies and fed it to kids. Yeah, they put mud in cookies. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Bodily fluids. They put bodily fluids in cookies. Move on. Why are they showing this to our children at dinner time? Come on.
And these are the same people that are like up in arms about stuff. We don't want our children to hear this filth, and yet these are the groups that are doing it.
But it's okay to talk about sperm cookies at dinner.
Yeah, that's good. I think I love that. Sperm cookies. Who doesn't want one?
Who comes up with these? That's the way that, how do you like the way that cookie crumbles as they show a bunch of cookies?
Okay, thankfully.
Please.
Do you guys get ads like that or is it just California? No, thankfully, I'm doing ads for California, but thankfully the people that I work for are actually good writers. And
they would have said semen.
I would have started laughing if I had to read, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Aye, aye, aye. Yeah.
But do you guys, in Illinois, do you guys
Oh, they're horrible. The ads are horrible
like
here. Yeah, they're bad.
They are?
Yeah, they're mean. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I don't work for a company that has a mean pack. You know, the group I work for is...
Well, I'm not even talking about... Don't even get me started on the Hillary and Trump ads. I'm talking about the Proposition ads.
Yeah, well, I saw a Proposition ad, too. You know what was interesting is... what an interesting segue. During the Dodger-Cubs games...
Listen, can I
We saw a lot of the California Proposition commercials. Because
you
they
did?
Were,
oh, because were you watching a California feed?
No, it was a Fox thing, but it was...
Oh.
Since it was national, they were... So I did see a couple, and I was like, why are we getting there? Oh, because California people are watching this, too. So, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I came out, and, you know, because my dude is so funny. He gets so discouraged so early on. After, like, the first run, he was like, ugh, they can't come back from this. They're not coming back from this. And he's stomping around, and he goes outside and starts grilling. So he was in and out watching. But after the game was over, I was like.
The quickest game ever, you mean?
Right.
The game was
right?
over at 9:40.
I was just going to say 9:40. No, all of our games here went until, like, way after 9. This one ended at 8. But, yeah, we're in a different time zone. I go, so did you hear from Kirk? No. And I said, oh, is that because she takes the high road and after her wins, she didn't say anything, but after your wins, you were like, suck it. We're winning. I'm like, no, you don't want to show up and take your medicine? No, not so much. That's lovely.
He did leave a nice post.
You're lovely. Because I told him he had to. He probably would have anyway. But I was like, oh, no. When you win, she was like, you know, the Dodgers really deserved it. They really worked hard. And, yeah, you threw a little jab in at the end. Wait till game four, motherfuckers. But
I was sincere.
She was gracious.
I'm a sports person.
And you, when they won, did you show up and show some sincerity and congratulate her on the win? No.
He told me he's sending me some In-N-Out burgers. We'll see if that
happens. Here's the thing. This is how this went. This is welcome to my life. This is what I say to him, and this is why nobody in my house fucking listens to anything I say. I say to him, so if I lose, I said it's a double-edged sword here, because if we win, then I'm going to have to be explaining to you how we can't afford for you to spend, you know, $500 a ticket to go to the World Series. And if we lose, I have to send Kirk a care package. And I said, but we've decided it's supposed to be a surprise. I said,
right.
And I'm trying to think of something that is like inherently LA. I said, I don't know. I mean, I could send her some In-N-Out burger. Does In-N-Out, is In-N-Out like White Castle? Does In-N-Out ship? And he was like, yeah, I think so. You probably have to overnight it. We have this whole conversation about it. Then fast forward a day. And I look at the post and go, son of a bitch, dude. What the hell? What? Your post said, like, non sequitur much? Oh, blah, 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 congratulations. You know, I'll be rooting for the Cubs, which, by the way, every single game, I said, you know, I'm from Illinois. I want the Dodgers to win, but if they don't, like, I'm happy for the Cubs. I'm not. I fucking hate the Cubs. I won't root for them. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I'll root for them. I'll root for your team in the World Series. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he's like, no, I guess I'll send you, you know, wait for those In-N-Out burgers. Huh. Okay. So the whole conversation that we had, you didn't say that. Okay. Nobody listens. No one listens in my life. This is
well,
me.
Well, you can send
on
me whatever you want. You
I'm
can make it
fucking.
Yeah.
No, now I have to come up with something else because he's an asshole and he doesn't listen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, surprise. Remember the part where I said it was supposed to be a surprise and
right.
I wanted you to help me come up with something?
Right.
Dick.
Yeah.
This is
well,
how
I can't wait.
When I'm
I can't,
grumpy and feisty and I wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yes. I can't wait to see what you send me. I'm very excited. I will tell you, that was an amazing game. I mean, poor Kershaw, man. 15,
an amazing for who? It's not
30?
An amazing game. It wasn't even like, it would have been an amazing game if there was an actual game happening.
No. Yeah. Well,
Kershaw did not deserve to go out that way. He did not, after the season, the last couple of seasons that he's had, he did not deserve to go out that way.
But here's what I don't like about your fans.
Way more of a fight.
I don't, well, yeah, but here's what I don't like about your fans. Everyone has a bad game.
Oh, and, yeah, of course they do.
And the bats on the Cubs were just ready to hit. They were, like I had told you, they're going home. The fans at Wrigley Field, the energy that is at that place is magical. You cannot help but be invigorated by the energy
at that
place.
Because you guys have been losers for so long.
Right, and we're used
to actually win something.
Well, it's been 30 years for you guys, so it's not like...
I know that's true.
Yeah, okay. But 30 pitches in one inning is never good for any starting pitcher. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt I hate when fans bag on players for no reason.
Who was bagging on Kershaw?
I was reading a lot of stuff on Facebook where people were like, Kershaw sucks and this and that and blah blah blah. It's like,
no, he's amazing.
He's amazing.
He just hasn't had teams that have been able to show up for him in the last couple of years. He hasn't had the support and the backup.
I had a lot of respect for him.
He carried the entire fucking team, and he mostly carried the series.
Yeah,
he mostly carried the post game season.
Yeah, so it was fun on this end because it was just like one after the other, and it was just like the realization that they were going to do it, and they were going to do it then on Saturday and not drag it out to Sunday. It was so exhilarating that by the middle of the eighth inning, the tears were running down my face already. I was just like, it was amazing. So I'm thinking possibly that I might run down to Wrigley Field tomorrow if it doesn't rain, because they have the marquee and it says 2016 National League Champs. I might want to take a picture in front of that. And then at the Art Institute in Chicago, the lions that sit out at the entrance, there's these big, huge lions. Mm-hmm. They're big, huge, casted lions. They're ginormous. And when other sports teams have won, they have won the hats or helmets of those teams. And they have a Cubs hat on for the first time in ever. I don't think they had those 108 years back or 71 years back. So I think I'm going to run down there and take a picture with it. It's supposed to rain. If not, I'll go Sunday. Yeah, anyway, so that's exciting. But you know what? I was looked on StubHub, and I had friends looking on StubHub for nosebleed seats.
$500. $300.
No, for the World Series for the Chicago Cubs.
We looked at World Series tickets here, and if the Dodgers had made the World Series, we could have gotten some seats for $500, and they weren't standing room.
You wouldn't even be able to get your toe anywhere near Wrigley Field. You would not even be able to step on Addison Clark. Do you want to guess what the shittiest seats are going for?
$1,100? $15,000?
$25,000.
No, for nosebleed seats, for standing room only seats, $25,000.
Not for standing room only, for nosebleed seats.
No.
Yes.
There's no way. They can't fill a stadium at $25,000 a ticket.
Look again. We're going to do it right now. As of today, I'm going there.
Because I did that with StubHub when the Dodgers won, and it was looking like they were definitely going to come back and play here, and my dude looked up because he wanted to try to get tickets. That night when they were winning, like right after the game, it was impossible. StubHub was crazy, and the tickets were expensive. And then when you looked the very next day, it was like, oh, here's some $90 tickets.
Right. Okay. So just so that we're clear, Friday's game, I'm looking at Friday's game, and then we'll look at Saturday's game. Friday's game is not a clincher. Okay, so it's just a regular game. Standing room only,
mm-hmm.
$1,700 for Friday's
game. Okay, $1,700, but that's not $25,000. You said the nosebleed seats were $25,000.
In the bullpen, that's what we just read yesterday. So this is Friday's game. Because when I'm going to go to Saturday, because Saturday means Saturday's game four, they could possibly win it. So Saturday and Sunday's games are going to be more because you actually could see the World Series winners. So on Friday's game, the bullpen seats, like off of first base, 36,000 I'm seeing tickets for. 36,000.
Well, those are probably decent seats.
Yeah, they are. So let's go to Saturday's game, which is game four.
What do we know about the Indians? They're a tough team, right?
I don't know much about them except that they had a movie.
I think my dude said it's pretty... Except what?
That they had a movie made about them called Major League.
Oh, that's right. That's the Indians. I fucking love that movie. It's such a great. No, I think according to what my dude was saying, they're a pretty evenly matched. Like they're gonna be hard to beat.
Standing room only on Saturday, $2,500.
So far I'm not hearing any $25,000 for nosebleed seats.
I'm telling you, yesterday.
Doralia and a cheap.
People, they aren't selling. So dugout box.
They are selling. Really surprising. The seats where you have to use binoculars to see the players are not selling at $25,000.
The dugout, $40,000. Some of them are $40,000. There's one listed here for $99,000.
When you
that's
have,
right behind home plate.
When you have
$99,000 tickets.
But here's the thing. Hang on. When you have season tickets. Aren't you able, don't you get first dibs at your seats for your season tickets at regular season prices?
Yes. Yes.
So what was happening? That the people behind home plate, those wouldn't be going for $99,000 because the people who have those seats for season tickets would be using them.
Okay, here's the deal. This is what friends that I know that have season tickets are doing.
Yeah.
They are asking an exorbitant amount of money. An exorbitant amount of money. Because they get first dibs for a couple of the games. I actually don't know how many games they get offered, if they get all of them that are at home, or if they only get if there's a lottery form. But what I have friends that are doing is, if for the last series, they had their tickets, right? They sold them for so much money that they basically paid for next year's season tickets.
How much are season tickets?
I don't know. It depends on where your seats are. So if you
sold them, because you could get. I mean, obviously, if you're in those really good seats, you have those box seats, and they're selling for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. That means you could technically sell those for $60,000.
And what's happening is, so because of how amazing this, you know, what this is historically,
but then you don't get to go. And if you're really that much of a fan, then you don't get to go.
But those people who have those seats are asking that much money. And they figure that if people are willing to pay it, then they'll sell them for them, right? And if not, then they just go the game. So they're not losing.
No, they're not losing. But you know, I mean, if you're such a big fan and then you don't get to go, although hopefully, I don't know, who knows?
They may be keeping the Saturday game for themselves. You know what I mean? Maybe they're selling the Friday game and keeping the Saturday game or the Sunday game for themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
So anyway, so it's a really interesting, the vibe around here is really interesting. So we'll see. It's just going to be a really interesting week here. I tonight will stay home. For the first game, because it's the first game. I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Where'd you watch game six of postseason?
I actually was home. Actually was.
Oh, I thought you were going to go out.
I was going to go out.
Be in one of those crazy bars that they show on TV with all the crazy Chicago fans like throwing peanuts on each other.
I'll be doing that probably this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I will be in that. And like I had friends that were outside Wrigley Field after the game. I mean, it's just been. I've heard just some really great stories. And I haven't heard any negative reports of rioting or anything like that. That the police were really cool about everything. They kind of let everyone celebrate. They were there in force. They let it peter out and started moving people along. The aerial view, it was at least a good mile of wall-to-wall people.
I don't like that. I'm not good with crowds.
I'm not either.
I would not like being like shoved and crammed and having people, but not being able to move and having a bunch of people all like
a bunch of drunk people. Because let's
bunch
say
of drunk people all pushed up around you.
Yeah. So I either will host, either I'll host people here on Saturday, like a little impromptu thing, or I will go out to a bar because it will be amazing.
Amazing.
The energy is amazing. Okay. So I've got a new segment.
Oh, do tell.
I've thought I've seen it all is what we're going to call it. I thought I've seen it all.
Okay.
I thought I've seen it all. Does that sound good, like a good segment? I thought,
sure.
I thought I've seen it all.
Just keep saying it. Maybe you'll talk yourself into it.
Okay, here it is. You know that I have an aversion to seeing people publicly pick their nose, right? We've discussed this.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people. I get it. Sometimes you got to dig. Sometimes it itches or something's up there, and you got to go in and fetch it. There is absolutely no reason to do it in public. I stand firm on that. If you're in your car, use a Kleenex. Do whatever you have. Duck down. Do whatever you have to do. You do not need to share your boogs with anybody else. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Driving the other day, mm-hmm. and of course, because that's how the universe rolls with me, I look up in my rearview mirror, And there's two people in the car behind me. A woman is driving. And
are you going to make Superfan Hari like vomit in his car again?
Possibly. Possibly.
Okay. All right, Superfan Hari, be prepared. You might want to fast forward through this part.
Right. So I don't know what made me watch them, but I just looked up, and she leans over, and she has her finger up his nose.
What?
She was picking at his nose, and I was.
Please tell me they were like 80. Are they 80?
No, no, no. They maybe in their 30s, 40s.
How far? Like she was it just like, oh babe, you got a bat in the cave, and she just kind of wiped it off, or she was all the way inserted up into his nose?
I didn't see if that she was all the way inserted, but she was very attentive to his nasal area. And
I'm sorry, why couldn't she just say, babe, you got a bat in the cave, and he could just go foom, foom, and like wipe it.
I love that you call it a bat in the cave. I've never heard that comment before.
No, you haven't?
No, I love it. And that's just the hanger on her?
Yeah, it's just like a little hanger on her that's like just hanging on the little hairs that are right there, and you got one that's kind of worked its way down, and it's just hanging, like, right, and you go, oh, bat in the cave, you got it.
I love that. Look at it, word of the week.
Phrase of the week, yeah.
Bat in the cave.
Yeah.
Bat in the cave, that's awesome. Now you know, folks, you're always learning something on this show, that's for sure.
So, okay, we don't know whether it was a bat in the cave situation or whether she was spelunking.
I don't know
like,
what
full on... Spelunking.
I have no idea what the situation was, nor do I truly care, because I was so repulsed by the fact that she was picking his nose.
Mm.
Like I said,
she loved him that much.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell if it didn't seem like a mother-son situation. It could have been a sister-brother, although I'd be really disgusted if my brother picked my nose. He would never do it, first of all. Anyone knows my brother.
Did he not have hands? I mean, what... On what planet would you pick someone else's nose, unless you're a total bitch and he was like someone who came back from the war and had no hands because his hands were blown off by a bomb and he needs people to pick his nose and wipe his ass now.
Wow. Now I have a dog that needs to go out.
I was just going to say, is your dog vomiting? What is that noise that just came out of his mouth?
His little, like, let me out, please.
Oh, 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 oh. That's what it sounded like.
You just have to give me just a minute. I'll be right back. Just a minute. I'm doing a show.
Let's go. Free.
This is very frustrating because, of course, the dog's got to poop.
Of course.
So I let him out the door, and he's not on a leash because he's really good about staying close to the house. My stepfather would kill me. He's unattended at the moment because I'm on my show.
Go get him. You're so funny. I love that you're like, oh, okay, and you know, you get up and you take all your stuff off to go, and as you're talking to him, I'm doing a show. What is wrong with you? As you're admonishing the dog, like it's a person. It's so funny. Go, just go. I'm doing a show, by the way, in the middle of my show. Just go. Come on, hurry up. Take your shit and hurry up. Go check on him. Go check on him. Leave him out there.
Oh. I'm sorry, funny. What? Did you funny. Say something?
No.
Okay, he's had his treat, and he's taken his shit. He's a happy guy. He's not in the least bit sorry for disrupting the show, however. That's really bumming me out.
Come on! It's like elder abuse, where it's like you're yelling at your mother or something. Come on! Hurry up! I'm busy!
Oh, well,
so,
there you go.
Speaking of pets, it's child abuse and now apparently husband neglect that I have not let us get some sort of a pet. My son has geckos, but, you know, they're not fuzzy and fun, and the novelty of that wore off, which I did not buy him, by the way. They were supposed to be at his dad's, and yet somehow this is another Keek rant. Why? Because Keek's fucking in a bad mood. This is why the enemy of all fun is that because I'm always the one, the bad guy that has to come in and say no to everything. Mm-hmm. Why? Because shit rolls downhill and who has to take care of it at the end of the day? This guy. So even though my ex-husband's ex-girlfriend gave my son two geckos for his birthday like 5 years ago, super fun at the time. And I was like, fine, they can live at your house. Okay. So they live at his house. But whenever he goes out of town, he would bring them to my house. And I would watch them. And then, of course, this last time he moved, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, he moved, and he's kind of been, he was in a place where he couldn't have the geckos. So guess who keeps them? I do. Well, it's 2 years later, and guess who still has them? I do. And does anyone play with them anymore? No. Does anyone acknowledge them anymore? No. Who has to feed them crickets every week? I do.
No, you have that kid do it.
It's part of his chores. He has to clean the shit out and, you know, take care of the water and stuff. But nobody cares about them anymore. He does. The novelty's worn off. No one holds them. No one pays them any attention. They probably are much better off not being held. They're geckos. I don't think they're meant to be. You know, they're not exactly like lovey. When my son first got him, he lost him in my couch, and I lost one for like a couple hours.
I think that you should not feed them and let them die. And teach your son a lesson. Teach your son a lesson about what happens when you don't take care of things.
So last year we learned that Girk would be a horrible soccer mom, and this year we've learned that she would just be a horrible mom. That's great.
Why would I be a horrible last week?
Yeah, the last episode we learned that you would be a horrible soccer mom in this episode.
Terrible.
Terrible parent.
Right. So, well, he would learn a lesson, right? If you don't take care of your things.
Oh, yeah. That'll show you. I might as well just stab him in the back with a pencil and have him come home with them, like, skewered with pencils.
You know, you'll never believe what happened while you were in school. They impaled themselves on these pencils.
It rained pencils. You left a pencil out, and look what happened. Mm-hmm. One of them got angry and killed the other, and there was a murder-suicide in the tank. So
right?
Then my stepdaughter has fish, and obviously who takes care of the fish? My dude does. I don't do shit for the fish because I've decided now that I delegate. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not touching the fish. The fish can die. So because I wouldn't. I wouldn't let them starve to death. I wouldn't let. I would feed them. But
leave that to me.
But it's gotten to the point now where it's like babe, it's just going to be a small little fish tank. She has been asking for fish for 2 years. We'll just get her a few fish. It's not a big deal. Well, 1 year later, guess who wants to upgrade to the 20-gallon tank? Now we need a 20-gallon tank because our four fucking goldfish are getting too big. It's too big for them in there, babe. We need a 20-gallon tank now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is why I have not said yes to a dog or a cat. Because who's going to be the one to take care of it? I am.
Cats are pretty easy to take care of.
The dog is not happening. Even though everybody wants a dog, the dog is not happening because we don't have that kind of disposable income. I have way too many friends who, when their pets got sick, they're dropping easily $1,200 per vet visit. And
yeah,
I don't have that. I'm not going into debt over a fucking dog. I would like to say that I would be one of those people that would say, I'm really sorry, but we're going to have to put him down because he's got cancer and I can't,
right.
I'm not going to prolong his life for another, year or two and spend $20,000 doing. I mean, listen, I'm not heartless. If it was my dog and I was in love with it, I don't know what I would do. And that's why I'm saving myself that.
Well, Mo Kitty is kind of on his last leg. You know, I mean, he's not 1 foot in the grave, but he's, you know, old and he's got some health concerns now. And he's having some problems with his liver.
And how much money have you spent on Mo Kitty's
liver? Oh my gosh!
Liver?
Every 3 months, it's like $200 to $300.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and even not even up in the thousands, but every couple of months, spending a couple hundred dollars. Like I'm not in a position right now.
No, and I'm really not
three
either.
Three kids and living in California. I'm like, are you kidding me? You guys are kidding me with this, right? It's expensive to have a pet. You guys are my pets.
Well, I said to the vet, I'm like, if this liver thing is something that he's going to need continued care for or specialists, you know, because the guy's, he's like, the next step is to get a liver specialist. And I go, I love my cat. I mean,
I'm not getting a liver specialist.
He's a nasty piece of work, this cat. And I love the shit out of him because he entertains me. He's 16 years old.
Yeah. If it's his time to go, then it's going to be his time to go. You cannot spend money on a liver specialist.
Plus
the fact that I was talking to this friend the other day, acquaintance friend, and she has two teeny little pets, and she was talking about the whole, like, comfort animal. What's it called? Is that what they call them now? Because now it's gotten way out of hand. It's not just having the the guide dog or whatever
yeah,
anymore,
like
allowed on
the
plane.
Animals that they can take on the plane that you can
yes, now they call
anxiety.
Yeah, there was like a comfort animal or a
something like that.
I'm using the wrong word, but so there was a story on the news where it got out of hand. I'm going to digress here for a minute because there was a story on the news where it's gotten out of hand because people started taking advantage of this small loophole where if you have a letter from your doctor that you have some sort of mental, you know, impairment that where you need the stress animal
right
on the plane, that you're allowed to have the stress animal. So people started taking advantage of it. Well, they did this news article because the airlines have gotten together and now they're like, they're banding together to change the law. So I think they're not necessarily, I don't think they're necessarily taking away the stress animal because it's a real thing. My sister-in-law has, you know, anxiety. She has anxiety when she travels. She has, you know, not severe anxiety. She has meds for it, but she needs her support animal. That's what it's called. She needs her support animal. And so I don't think they're taking it away completely, but I think they're going to curtail it because apparently, I just think of like a dog or a cat or whatever. People have been taking turtles, pigs. There was a miniature pony. I saw a picture because they were showing people's pictures of.
How do you stow that in the overhead bin?
No, you don't, because when it's a support animal, it's allowed to sit with you.
But tell me how a pony is going to sit on a seat.
The pony, the picture that this person posted, there was a miniature pony in, like, there's not even that much leg room anyway. In the, standing in the legroom area between the knees and the seat in front of them, there was a little miniature pony, like, crammed in that space.
Okay, so you're trying to recline your seat. You're the seat in front, and you're trying to recline your seat.
And you hear,
and you're like, and you keep bumping into the pony. And then it takes a shit on the flight. Tell me how that's going to go down well.
I have no idea how these people have managed to do this for so
maybe
long.
It has
I don't understand.
Maybe it has an apple bag attached to its buttocks. So that
I
it
do not
the
know.
Feces, but
I do not know, but what kind of crazy? It's gotten completely out of hand. So if you have a support animal situation, beware, because that might be going away. But anyway, so this woman, acquaintance friend of mine, was telling me about how she has anxiety and her dogs, they're support animals for her, and she takes them on planes because they help her travel better because she's not stressed because she's attending to her animals. But they're little teeny tiny. And she was talking about one of them and saying how it's been sick and has a heart condition, and now she has heart pills. She has all these different pills, and she was saying that like one of the pills that her dog is on is Viagra, because I guess apparently there's certain off-label uses for some meds that they use for animals, and some of these meds that they use on the animals are regular like prescription adult prescription or like regular person human prescription strength meds.
Right. Okay.
And she said, you know, it's definitely cheaper. The Viagra that she gets for her pet is like cheaper than getting it in the pharmacy, but it's still expensive. And I was
$4
like, oh,
a pill.
So I could just walk into a vet and say, could you prescribe me some Viagra, please? And get it cheaper. But yeah, so she's paying like full price because I said there's no insurance for that. Like there's pet insurance, but it doesn't really cover all of that.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what would I do in that situation? She didn't tell me how much money she was spending, but she's got multiple meds that her dog is on now because it's got a heart condition. It's an older dog, and she's got, you know, the monthly vet visit, the EKGs, all this stuff. And California gouges.
Does she have any children?
Because they can get away with it.
Does she have any biological human children?
She's younger, and she doesn't have any kids.
So this is her baby, if you will.
It's her baby, but I look at it, and I think, I don't want to put myself in a situation and get a dog until I have that kind of excess money. I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm going to have to be going into debt and opening up a credit card because I have a dog.
Yeah, Care Credit is what it's called.
Yeah.
And a credit card company called Care Credit.
Yeah, to put your vet bills on, that's just wrong. And in California, you know, they really do gouge because I was talking to another friend who said, oh, yeah, this, or it might have been the same girl. She said this test, this EKG or whatever that they wanted for my dog, normally in other areas is like $150. But because she's in Los Angeles, they charged her $450.
Oh, my gosh.
For this EKG. Yeah. And I said, well, can't you do what we do with medical bills? Just negotiate it down. You call and negotiate. Oh, no. They won't negotiate. That's the price. They just price gouge you. And she feels like they, you know, that they add a lot of tests that might be unnecessary because they're just gouging the fuck out of people.
Wow. Well, don't have an animal in California.
I need to tell one of my kids needs to be a vet because those people have got to be making shit tons of money.
Especially in California. Everyone's got dogs.
Everybody's got dogs. So I had given up and said, you know, I am more amenable to getting a cat than a dog because I feel like cats are probably are cheaper.
And they're easier. And you don't have
and to easier. Yeah. If you go out of town for a weekend, you don't have to worry about, like, boarding them. Or cats can stay alone. It's not a big deal. They're, you know, you can leave food. They're not going to eat all of their food in one fell swoop like a dog will.
Right. Yeah, you got dry food.
But still, I mean, for me, you know, they've been really pushing me on it lately. But I'm like, yeah, but it's still going to add, like, the food and the stuff. And you know me, I'm crafty, and I like little things. I'm going to want to go out and buy stuff, buy, you know, all the little tchotchke shit. And it's going to add up. It still adds money to your
I don't think you should have a cat or dog. No. I think you should wait right now.
Okay.
So what else you got?
I'm going to tell everybody that Girk, I'm going to tell my family, when they say we want a pet, I'm going to be like, call Girk, ask Girk.
Call me. Send him my way, and I'll give him a toothbrush for Halloween.
I was just telling somebody about that the other day. Who was it? I can't remember. Somebody was being all bah humbuggy about Halloween, and I was like, well, listen, you could just give out toothbrushes like my friend is going to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and they probably went, ooh, that's a good idea. Actually, mm-hmm. I need to get off the phone, or when I get off the show here, I've got to order them and hope they get here by Friday.
You didn't order them last week?
I forgot to. The place is local, so I should be able to, but I got to do that. That's all.
And of course, by the time this show airs, I think it's going to be 2 weeks after Halloween. We have to be better about that and not talking about stuff that's like 2 weeks
ago.
But
we can't help it because at this time of year, we're actually doing shows in advance because, you know, we're going to have to go dark in December.
We're going dark. We're going deep undercover.
We're going dark in December.
I got fam coming in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm busy with work, so
I have bought. This is what happens to me every year. I have purchased my first Christmas present because I think I'm going to get ahead of it this year. I buy a few things. I purchased my first one. I ordered one, and then I get all cocky, like, "Look at me starting early," and then ask me what I do for the next month. Nothing.
Well,
not a damn thing.
You know that I'm already done with my Christmas shopping.
What? No, you are not.
Yeah, I am.
Did you get everybody toothbrushes?
No. I just buy for my nephews. They get $20 each. That's it. Four boys, done.
You just give them cash?
Yep.
Wow. So it's bah humbug and whatever the equivalent of bah humbug would be for Halloween?
No,
Do you serve everybody piles of shit on Thanksgiving?
No, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. You know that.
I know it is. I do know it is.
No, I'm just concise and efficient in and judicious in how I do things.
Christmas stresses me out every year.
That's why I don't do it.
Because this is not what the spirit of Christmas was supposed to be about, being all stressed out about where you're going to get the money to buy all those presents for the kids. But I have kids. How are you supposed to say to the kids, listen, kids, we just don't have the money to buy you gifts this year. Can you guys just suck it up and not want anything?
I had a couple Christmases like that growing up.
As they're getting older, I know, but we're not like, you know, we're not destitute. Of course, we can buy them Christmas presents, but as they get older, the shit that they want gets more and more expensive. My one stepdaughter wants a fucking hoverboard. Those things are $150.
And you say, here's $50 towards your hoverboard.
Oh, I know. I don't think the hoverboard is going to happen because honestly, those things are a death trap. People are like breaking wrists, breaking ankles. She's already broken her wrist twice, I think. She has, you know, issue with her knee. She's broken more things because she's a tomboy and she's really good at sports.
Maybe she should be put down.
She's very I'll tell her. I'll tell her you thought so.
Tell dude.
Thankfully, we have insurance for her. So the insurance pays for a lot of that. But she's always breaking shit. She would be the last person on the planet that I would want to get a hoverboard for.
Right.
I don't even know why they call them hoverboards. They're on wheels that touch the ground.
There's no hovering. There's no hovering whatsoever.
There's no hovering. I got on one of those, by the way. I think it was last Christmas, my nephews, because my
without
sister,
the handles or with the handles?
Well, no, with the handles, it's called a Segway. Without the handles, it's a hoverboard.
Okay.
So
that shows you how much I know.
my sister overindulges her children, and they get, you know, all sorts of expensive Christmas presents. So that's super fun at my house. And it's like, oh, look, my cousins both got hoverboards for Christmas last year. Last year, they were probably $300 each because it was the first year out. And those were the ones that were you know, the first generation were spontaneously combusting and catching fire in everybody's living rooms. This year, apparently, they say that they've solved that problem, but I still...
Now they only smoke.
Right, now they only smoke. But this is, the hoverboard is just one step closer to that, to WALL-E, the movie WALL-E, where everybody is fat, sitting in chairs, and just playing on computers. Like, what, you can't walk? You can't walk down the block to the Starbucks? Now you have to roll on your hoverboard? You can't take a skateboard and actually use any of your own strength and ability to get your ass there?
Yeah.
It's a shame. That's what I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, you are. I'm glad it's not me this week. Quite frankly, it's kind of enjoyable. All right, well.
Get it all out. Get it out. Blah, blah, blah. Just vomit it all out on all of you so you guys can go and have a good week.
Have a great week. I'm going to be watching the Cubs hopefully win the World Series by next time. No, because we'll be doing a show in a couple days again, so I could be on pins and needles. Oh, my gosh.
Pins and needles.
So exciting. Okay,
pins
so
and needles.
Just be wary of people in their car picking other people's noses. That's just a recap on today's show. Yeah.
That's really how you want to end it?
I'm sorry, that's what popped back into my head.
Okay.
I certainly don't want to think about, I'm
getting started on Christmas shopping and think about how we can this year, because I feel like I'm heavy. We're supposed to be like in our best shape at the end of the summer because we're about to go into the holiday season where we eat a bunch of junk. And I swear to God, it's still fucking hot here, but I've been starting to pull out. Yeah. Oh yeah. So we got some rain this week, but I've been starting to pull out, you know, I've been wearing pants or jeans, or I started to pull out a few things I hadn't worn in a while, and pants that I used to have to wear a belt with. Now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, not only are they snug, but look, baby got some booty going on back there. I feel like I'm the heaviest I've been. I don't know what's going on. I mean, so this year, this holiday season, which of course is not going to happen because I have no willpower whatsoever. I need to think of like healthier things that we can eat or have around the house instead of just eating crap and candy. Because you don't.
Well, why don't you get back to us on that? Why don't you let us know how that
mow
goes?
Mow me some mounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Those are my favorite candy bar.
I know.
And Smarties.
The Smarties. I'm Smarties. All right, well, I got nothing else. I'm done today. I got to go back to work.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I love you guys. Have a great, I think by the time this airs, this could be, I don't think we're post-election yet. Ooh, this is.
No, not quite yet. Although I need to, every day now, I keep putting that stupid booklet out and I need to read it because we can vote early here. I don't know about you guys, but they have early polls here. But also, I think
decide what I'm doing.
In my sheer genius, months ago, I think whatever they sent to me, I opted to do the mail-in. So I can actually vote and just get it done with. But I have to read that. I'm going to read. But we're still pre-election, I believe.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens as the shit show continues. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to us and our antics and our ridiculousness in all its glory.
Yeah.
Woo! Go us. All right, see you guys later. Have a great week.
Bye. I need someone who's clean with a dirty mind.